Last week, I spoke with Michael McKnight, the author of Intercepted, subtitled The Rise and Fall of NFL Cornerback Darrell Henley. Henley has been in prison for nearly two decades, in part for his involvement with the transportation of cocaine, a transgression further complicated when he was drawn into a conspiracy to murder the judge who'd presided over Henley's trial and one of the witnesses who'd testified against him. Newell Flather, a WBUR listener, emailed to suggest that neither the author nor I had mentioned what had happened to that witness, Tracy Donahoe, the former Rams cheerleader who was actually arrested with the cocaine. We were left wondering about the consequences for her, Mr. Flather wrote. I hope you can satisfy our curiosity. Certainly, Mr. Flather, Tracy Donahoe served a four-month sentence in a halfway house. Our story last week about the so-called fire sale by which Miami Marlins owner Jeffrey Loria significantly lowered his payroll by sending several of his best players to the Toronto Blue Jays for prospects irked Alan Silverman, who hears the program on WAMC in Albany. But Mr. Silverman was less concerned with today's Marlins than with what the team had previously accomplished. It's grossly unfair for the Marlins to win two World Series so quickly in their history, he wrote. That is simply wrong. Measures should be taken to make sure it never happens again. If there is any justice in the world, Marlins fans and fans of the New York Yankees will not see another winning season before the 25th century. Darrell Wendell, who describes himself as a Cubs usher who winters in Miami, wrote to say he enjoyed my conversation with prognosticator extraordinaire Nate Silver on last week's program. I was a frequent visitor to his website prior to the election, Mr. Wendell wrote. I was somewhat calmed by his predictions. Keep up the good work. It's a pleasure to support my local stations, which air shows like yours. The conversation with Nate Silver provoked lots of listeners to present their theories about how the value of baseball players should be measured, and you can read them all by visiting onlyagame.org, where you can also leave a comment. Perhaps it will be a comment like the one Tom Friedman, another WBUR listener, left this week. I cannot think of words to express how much I enjoy listening to your show, he wrote. Unlike the lunatics ranting on sports talk radio, you stick to the premise that titles the show. Thanks for the amusing, engaging, and often tongue-in-cheek reports. Thanks for the comments, especially the ones like that one. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio, and you can leave a message on the listener line by calling 617-353-1860. You're listening to Only a Game.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Oliver Wyman, a global management consulting firm with 3,000 professionals serving global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com. And Trader Joe's, traveling the world to source a variety of foods and beverages like pizza from Italy and cheddar from Australia. Locations at TraderJoe's.com. This is NPR.
Lots of sports fans feel affection for the venues where their favorite teams have played. When those venues are replaced, those fans sometimes acquire souvenirs from the beloved arena or stadium. They buy the seat from which they've watched games, or a polished piece of the floor from which some hero has launched a jump shot. When some of what used to be the Maple Leaf Gardens, where Toronto's pro hockey team played until 1999, was made available at auction recently, longtime Leafs fan Jim Vegmond had his heart set on a 1967 Stanley Cup banner. And when the bidding for the banner got too high, Mr. Vegmond did not despair. He bought a toilet from the Leafs dressing room. It's part of an icon, he said, and the iconic toilet only set him back $5,300.